How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
No. Let's try something else. Hit it, Joe.
Three idiots sharing memories with fans who watched the show. It's the best of both worlds.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Both Our Worlds, the official, unofficial Hannah Montana podcast, the show where three idiots share our memories of Hannah Montana with the fans so they get a chance to see the other side of the best damn Disney show ever. I am one of your hosts, Jason Earls. I play Jackson Rod Stewart on the show.
There it is. I'm Shannon Flynn. I was a director and acting coach on the show.
And I am Douglas Danger Liebling. I was one of the writers and co-executive producers.
Before we jump into our very special episode, we want to just thank everybody so much for all the support. You guys, we have so much fun running through all the comments, through all of the questions. It helps us so much when you like and you share. You're helping us grow the channel, and we're so thrilled. So keep up the good work. So in honor of that, we want to start with our Fan of Montana Spotlight, share a few of our favorite fan comments. So Shannon, take us away.
You bet. Megan underscore RS18 left a comment on Instagram. She said, I love the comment on this episode about Jackson's dates becoming famous after being on the show. Technically, Jackson did date Hannah Montana. I can't wait to hear about the Jacksana episode. Also, it took until I was an adult to realize that Jackson dated Hannah Montana and then turned around and became her assistant. I'm sure this will be another writer's rant from Doug.
Do I rant? Is that what I do? I rant?
Yeah, you get unreasonably upset. I do. As opposed to me, who's the voice of reason. Yeah, right.
Yes, you'll get one soon. All right. And Amanda Shake It Up, wrong show, Amanda. But Amanda Shake It Up left a comment on Instagram. I would love for y'all to sell a shirt that is just Jackson's face. Mm-hmm. And it says, meanwhile, LOL. I LOL'd at that comment.
Great ongoing bit on the show. And then you had a little.
Yeah, we met Amanda.
Yep.
At NostalgiaCon.
In Anaheim.
Oh, in Anaheim.
That's Amanda?
After our panel.
Oh, I know. Bow, bow, bow,
bow. Okay, if you're thinking that you would like to be a part of our Fan of Montana Spotlight, just leave a comment or review on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Morse code, send an owl, wherever you are, and you're in the running.
And finally, please check out our website, bestofbotharworlds.com. You're going to find fun stuff there, behind-the-scenes photos, giveaways, merch. Maybe there's something at that top banner you should check out, too.
Hey, everybody. You know what this podcast is missing? It's a little bit more you. So if you would like to hang out with three idiots, go ahead and check out our website, Best of Both Our Worlds. Click the banner and find out how you can be a part of our True Friend Fridays. Okay, so let's stop messing around. Let's just get right into it, you guys.
Please.
We have a very special guest this week. Our guest is a dear, dear friend of mine. She also happens to be one of the most gifted casting directors in Hollywood. Along with her partner, Catherine Stroud, London Stroud Casting has found the talent for over 100 films and TV shows over the course of 30 plus years, including Roseanne, Grace Under Fire, Arliss, The House Bunny, Nickelodeon's Super Ninjas, great show, by the way, Disney's Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, and Grandma's Boy, just to name a few. She is known for spotting talent and giving chances to stars before they became stars, including Jennifer Aniston, Jonah Hill, Emma Stone, Kat Dennings, Selena Gomez, Mark Ruffalo, a little Brad Pitt. She wrote an incredible book that I highly recommend called From Start to Stardom, The Casting Director's Guide for Aspiring Actors. It is fantastic. You really, really should check it out if you have any interest in being an aspiring actor. And here at Babau, we know her best as the casting director for the pilot of Hannah Montana. She is the only reason I have a career. And she is the person who is ultimately responsible for unleashing Miley upon the world. Please welcome our guest, Miss Lisa London.
Yay, Lisa!
Thanks, you guys. That was such a great introduction, Jason. Wow.
It barely does you justice.
Oh, I know. I appreciate that. There's so much more.
So I've known you for a very, very long time.
Right.
Do you have any experience with these two idiots, or is this like a relatively new...
A relationship? It's a new relationship. Right. I have met Doug before, though.
Right. We've never worked together.
No,
though.
But right. I did meet you, but... It's a new relationship.
Oh, this is
one I'm very excited
yes,
about.
Yes, me too. 100%.
I'm excited to share Lisa with you.
Very generous of you.
Yes, good job.
I have a question for you, Lisa. Yeah. You grew up in the business.
Right.
Your dad was a director.
Correct.
And a very in-demand director. Directed some of my favorite shows. Did you get to go to set with him and when you were... A kid?
Yeah, so that's how I got started in casting, right? My dad was Jerry London, and he was a very successful director who directed tons of television, all your favorite shows for, you know, from like Kojak and Rockford Files and $6 Million Man and Brady Bunch and Partridge Family. And my dad did the original Shogun, and he worked with 25 different Academy Award winners. He did all these amazing miniseries. So, yeah. I grew up on sets, and that was what I did. I loved after school to go and take my friends and go, hey, let's go. We're going to hang out on sets. And that's what I did. And I loved talking to actors. That was part of my thing. And when my dad did Shogun, I was in during my summer from college. I went to the University of Southern California out here, studied film and television. And during my summer, I would go with my dad and I'd work as a PA. But when he did Shogun, I went to Japan. And you remember the actor John Rhys Davies, who is in Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
He used to recite Shakespeare to me.
Oh my God.
I know him as Gimli, but that's just, I'm just a little nerdy.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You spent all that time around the actors on all those different shows, and actually an incredible caliber of actor. Did you ever want to be an actor yourself? Was that ever part of the plan?
Well, you know, it's so funny. People always ask me that, and my dad said, here, he gave me like a one-liner in a couple of things. And, you know, I was like, wait a minute, you sit around all day waiting to do this? No. That was me. It's like, no, I just didn't have the passion for it.
Yeah.
Even though I think I'd be a really good actor. Yeah. I can be very dramatic.
So you're hanging around sets, you know the business.
Yeah.
You know you don't want to be an actor. Yeah. What drew you towards casting director?
Well, that was a fluke. Okay, I thought I was going to be, I was like, okay, I think I'm going to be a producer because I'm really good at organization and connecting people. So then when I graduated and during my summers of college, I worked as a PA on sets, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I graduated, my dad did a pilot called Hotel. And you remember Hotel with
course,
James Brolin and Connie Selica? Mm-hmm. And originally it was Betty Davis for the pilot, and then they had to recast. But because she wasn't doing well. But what happened was my dad let me sit in on the casting sessions for that pilot.
Oh.
And those casting directors who were very successful at the time, Lynn Stallmaster and Tony Howard, they said to me, what do you think? And I went, oh, she's good. He's good. Nope, that one doesn't work. That one doesn't work. But those two would be good together. And 3 months later, they offered me a job.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. Yeah.
Where did you get the self-confidence to, like, just feel like... Because those rooms are so intimidating. Like you, I think you don't want to give, like, a wrong opinion. Like,
I don't know. I think that came from just growing up on sets and being around my dad and watching it. So, you know, and talking to actors. So I feel like I just had that kind of ballsy to go for
that's,
it. You know what I mean?
That's incredible.
And that's how I got started. So I had no idea. I didn't plan to be a casting director, but obviously that was my path.
Right. Do you remember the, like, when you, after you got hired on, do you remember the first thing that you cast, like the first project or even like the first actor that you were like, this is my
I
person.
Remember, well, I was an assistant first, right? Mm-hmm. So I worked there for like 2.5 years and learned all about the different shows. They did many very successful movies and television shows. So I did all that. And then I ended up going to get a job, which is kind of a funny story, at Lorimar before it was Warner Brothers.
Oh,
right?
My God.
And
yeah.
What happened was Barbara Miller, the late, great Barbara Miller, who is the head of casting, said she was looking for like an associate casting director. And this is where, again, me being ballsy, I said, no, I don't want to be an associate. I'm ready to be a casting director, and I'll give it 110%. And that's what I want to do. And she gave me my first job as a casting director.
Wow, that's incredible.
So that's how I got started. And yes, I do remember the first show that I got to cast. It's going to age me.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
But no, the first show that I ever cast as a full-fledged casting director was Falcon Crest.
Oh, wow. That's a great first.
Do you remember that?
Of course, yes.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's in like the golden age of like television soap opera dramas.
Remember that?
Dramas.
Well, they did it all. Dallas, Knott's Landing, Falcon Crest. So, and the one of the people that I gave a job to on that show, who's now a very successful, Mariska Hargitay.
Oh. Wow.
So how long was it after you started casting on your own that you ended up meeting Catherine and starting the London Stroud?
Yes, I worked there. I worked at Lorimar for like 2.5 years, and then I went on my own, but I was by myself for a bit. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember how many years after, but Catherine had moved out to Los Angeles to with a man. She'll tell you that story. which didn't work out.
Been there.
Yeah.
Happens.
So she directed children's theater in Toronto. She's mm-hmm. from Toronto. And so what happened is she was looking for a job. And somebody, we had mutual friends who introduced us. And I said, do you want to be in casting? And she said, okay. And so she worked as my assistant first. And then she moved up. And then when I had my son, she went to work for Paramount. And so she worked at Paramount on Tommy's Boy and the Brady Bunch movie and those things. Yeah. And then we got, when I was going back to work, I said, hey, do you want to come back and work with me? And she said, yeah, let's be partners. And I said, okay. And we've had like a longer relationship than her marriage now, I think.
That's right.
I think it's always fun. It's more fun to have like a partner in crime. It's like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like you divide and conquer.
Yeah. I mean, we have a really good working relationship. We're kind of like, you know, married in that sense.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we have our moments, but we get along really good and we have really good taste together, you know.
So. Clearly.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we've been together for a long time.
And you guys have discovered like some of the most amazing stars that have ever come out of Disney
Channel. We've given them their, you know, jobs are very early in their career.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Well, that's the hard one. The hard thing is to take a chance on someone.
Correct.
To see it and know and take a chance. It's easy to cast, you know, Emma Stone after she's Emma Stone.
Yeah.
It's hard to cast Emma Stone when she's just a kid.
Yeah.
Right. So you find it. That's an amazing
talent. Well, and I think part of our job is we see potential in actors. So what we see, we'll see potential in people. And then part of our job is convincing you guys. You know what I mean? You know?
Do you find it harder casting adults or children? Or is it just
different?
It just
varies on what the circumstances are. We love casting kids because it's so fun to cast kids and then, you know, they go on to be very successful. But we've done that with people, you know, Emma wasn't a kid when we cast her in House Bunny and stuff like that, and Jonah and Jennifer. So it's just, it doesn't matter. It's whatever the project is and what it requires. And we don't mind. Either one is fun.
Right.
Always
okay.
Discovering new people and putting them on the map or helping them on that road to success, we really like.
All right, so in terms of a series, like you get, you know, the Hannah series.
Yeah.
What are the steps that an actor has to go through in order to go from, you know, Tennessee or in Nowheresville through you to get to book that role on the pilot? Like, there's a whole world that yes. our audience or most people don't know.
What are the steps involved?
Yeah, what are the steps involved?
Oh, that's a great question. So when we get a script, right, we read it, and then we start thinking of our own ideas, and then we have meetings with the director and producers and talk about what they're looking for, how they see the character, and then we take that information and using our own creative imagination, sometimes we'll go a bit outside the box, right, from what they're looking for, because we might see somebody who maybe doesn't fit exactly how they thought the part should be, but they're really made amazing choices. So what we do, you know, depending on what it is we're gonna, like, after we have our meeting, depending on if you need names or not names, like obviously on the pilot of Hannah, they weren't, that wasn't the mandate.
Right.
Our mandate on that show, just so you know, is we want you to find the next Disney star.
Yeah.
And then they said, and we don't think you can do it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Oh.
And we were doing Sweet Life of Zach and Cody at the time. And we said, oh, yes, we can.
Well, did they give you the mandate that the main character, who wasn't, you know, Hannah Montana at that point,
had
to sing?
Yeah.
That was one of the things.
Like, we knew that because of what her character was, right? She had the being the girl next door and then the superstar. So that was part of it. You had to be able to sing.
Right. So you there was a tighter box for you when you found that character. Yeah. They had to be able to perform. Yeah. They couldn't just be a great actor.
Right, exactly. But just to finish the answer to that question, so then when we, so depending on what it is, say it's a movie and we have to do lists of names and stuff like that, but then all the other parts, so we send out a breakdown, you know, a character description for all the roles, and then we start picking the people we want to read, and then people nowadays send in self-tapes. But we do a lot of readings on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I prefer in person, but I know that's not quite the way it is. I mean, when when we did Hannah, I don't know, I think we read over 1,200 girls for that part, you know.
I mean, in the room, you have a file. One of what you said was four files of acting.
It's crazy. I still have all my notes from 21 years ago from when we did this. So then anyways, but as part of the process, so then we read the people and we send them to you guys, we figure it out. Like, it's kind of putting together a puzzle. That's what I consider. You put together the puzzle and all the pieces have to fit together, and all the actors. So that's how we do it. And work and collaborate on that process. And if you, it doesn't matter where you live, not anymore. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
It doesn't matter. You could be anywhere and now, you know, get cast in roles.
Yeah.
So you do your first read with all these people that you think might be good and you narrow it down. And then what would the next step be?
Once we narrow it down, then we send who we think fits the role to our producers and directors. We send them a link now of the people. And then they look at them and they say, okay, we like A, B, C, D, E, you know, we like these people. And then we do callbacks with them. But there could be lots of callbacks. It might not be, okay, we sent you the 10 people and we found it in those 10. Sometimes you do, and you still are going to go see 100 more or 200 more. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just the process. And then it gets narrowed down and narrowed down. And depending on the size of the part, like a series regular or a lead in a movie, you know, there's always a number of steps to get to the final.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of voices in the room giving opinions.
Yeah. And depending on what it is, but especially for television, when it comes to networks and studios, there's a lot. And movies, when there's studios and people involved, a lot more versus independence, right? When you're doing independence, it's more independent films. It's more just the, you know, director and producers. You don't have all the studios.
Do you find, like, because often you find people that you love, that you feel are right.
Yeah.
And then you have to sort of get them through the producers or the studio or the network filter, right?
Right.
Do you find yourself fighting really hard for certain people, going, No, you guys, trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
A million times.
Did you do that on Hannah?
100%.
Yeah, for
I know no one believed Jason could do it, but you. Yeah.
I still am questioning whether. Yeah. Since we are a Hannah Montana podcast, if you're up for it, we would love to go through each of the series regulars and like sort of go through what you remember about like the first time you saw them, the what their particular process was. I know some of us had more auditions than others.
Right, that's true.
And if you've got anything in your notes about first impressions, like if you're willing to, we'd love to run through each
okay,
of them.
Okay, well, cool. Let's see what
and we know it's been a minute, so like yeah. You know, but I'm just always so curious, like what you remember from this.
Okay.
We can start easy. We can start with Jackson.
We can start with you.
Yeah. So as far as like the Jackson role, I feel like we weren't cast until after you know who your Miley was. You had to sort of know what to build around.
Well,
right?
Also, I think we read quite a few. Yes, that's true. We didn't Jackson. We read the. Miley and Lily part first, which Miley's character wasn't named Miley originally. Right. It was Chloe. And before that, I think it was Zoe the first script. But your part came in a little bit later. I mean, we knew we were casting her brother.
Yeah.
And remember in the original version, read that original version, he had a puppet.
Right. Fletcher the orangutan.
The Fletcher? Yes.
Fletcher.
It's seared into my soul. Yeah.
But listen, just for fun. Okay. I have all my Hannah Montana notes. I know you guys are probably going, what? But I do. But I have all my files for like tons of my projects, but this is what it says, just so you know. We're going to read the note, right? I'm not showing it to you guys because there's other notes in there, so we're not doing that. But here, this is what I said. Very funny with puppet, likable, a good personality, vulnerability, and so funny.
Yeah.
And
that's on his first audition.
Well, that was on the callback one. Okay. I'd have to go find the notes for the original, because you read for me originally. I know that know that famous story.
Yeah, I read with you one time, but it was like, I feel like it was not like an early audition, because there was people from Disney in the room for our first audition.
There was?
Yeah, because I remember somebody, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Adam Bennett, but it was somebody from Disney who was like, oh, we know you from Phil of the Future, you're funny, just have a good time. Like, there was somebody from Disney that let me off the hook in that first audition with the sock puppet who was, and then, because when I left that audition, as we were walking out, you were like, we're going to have you test for the network the next week.
Oh, yeah. But I remember a little different, because what I remember is before you came into the producer session that I remember I met you and we had a whole conversation because I asked you how old you were.
Let's get to the meeting.
I remember that was a private like moment.
Yeah, that was
like,
before I went in for the audition. You pulled me aside and we had a little convo.
And I that's what I remember.
What was the conversation? You're old.
It actually goes back before, because when we first met, it was an audition for Grandma's Boy.
Oh my!
And that audition went.
I remember that.
I remember you saying like you're really funny, but I don't think you're right for this role. I think I knew at that audition that I wasn't up for it, but you were really really like you were very kind. And at that time, I think that was the time that I had told you that I was 19. I think I lied to you in the first audition.
That's where I lied.
Yeah. And then it was when we for the Hannah audition, before I went in, you pulled me aside was like, hey, I know you're 19. But maybe let's take her.
So you thought he had lied and said he was, and you thought he was 19.
Yes. Yeah, I did think he was 19 because that's what he told me, right? And he looked 19. He looked really young.
So you just lied to everybody.
He still looks young.
Well, I lied to her first, and then she was like, well, maybe let's just tweak the lie a little bit.
Yeah. You know, listen, I feel like, you know, I had to like tweak that lie. That's a great way to say it. You know, I go, just tell them you're 17, because I didn't want the producers to think, oh my God, he's too old and too mature right. for the role, right? And yeah. sometimes you have to kind of embellish a little bit. I'm not into lying, no. but you know it's about.
Well, little did you know he was 10 no, years yeah, older
but
than that.
That part I didn't know, but I felt like that he was, you know, the one thing that I felt was like, it's about what age you can play.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Right? That's in acting, it's about what you can play. So, you know, they cast guys 28 to play college. And, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So. I just feel like that's an example yeah. of it. I just had to help the process a
little. But don't you think it really is? It's an entire profession built around make-believe.
Yeah.
So like the truth of yeah. all of it, none of it actually matters.
Right.
It is just what can you trick the audience into believing?
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's, so there you go. So then after we got to the network test, do you remember in the room if people were divided between me and the other kid? Or was there more, more options than the two of us?
No, not that I don't know. There wasn't. We only called back down to the test, like you and the other
gentleman.
Yeah, but it was already way narrowed down.
Right. Okay,
you know, yes. Right. Because usually they don't bring, not normally you uh-huh. don't bring like 10 guys to yeah. a test. It's usually maybe two or three.
Right.
Normally.
And was
yeah.
Jay clearly the favorite in that room? Or was there people fighting for Jay, people fighting for the other guy?
No, I don't remember that way. Right. I remember that, you know, Jason was so funny. And he's also so great with physical comedy. And
right.
so, and he has such a great personality. Oh. So, you know, am I the fan club for Jason Earls? Yeah. So I don't remember that there was a big division on
yeah,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's always nice when there's that moment of like, well, that's done.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's decided.
We yeah. got one.
There was just something about Hannah that always felt like, all this stuff just makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
right.
I didn't feel like a ton of pressure in the beginning to figure a bunch of stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
It was just take the notes that people give you and just be the goofy big brother that I just
yeah.
sort of was.
Yeah.
It was
right.
it. I didn't fight too hard against what right. that was. Okay, so that's a little Jackson.
Yeah.
Do you remember for Oliver, for Mitch Musso, for that role?
Yeah.
Anything?
Oh, well, I have notes on him, too.
This is the single greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Are you guys like
strap
this?
In, Mitch.
Okay, so, no. I didn't have a ton because I remember already Disney Channel really liked him.
Yeah.
So
right.
he was already a known entity. They really liked him. So we read a bunch of guys, though, for Oliver.
Right.
But he read for the producer session. I guess I pulled the producer notes and not my pre-read notes. But anyways, it said he read for the producers and he was very funny. That was my note that I wrote, you know? So
yeah.
I don't remember any, you know, I'd have to go back and find those.
Yeah, I do remember he was the one that had the most sort of credits.
Yeah,
like he had
yeah.
Monster House.
And he, I don't even know that he read for us, to be honest. I think I'd have to go find those and see
mm-hmm.
if he did, because Disney already liked him and
yeah,
knew
right.
about him. So he was somebody that we were just going to bring mm-hmm. into the producers. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
What about Emily Osment?
Yeah. So Emily, I remember we read a lot of people for Lily.
For the best
lots.
Friend.
Yeah.
Lots. Yes. So Lily.
Just leave the notes out.
Yeah.
Just
the notes
take them out. Leave them out.
What time?
I marked them.
What time frame were you reading Lily's? Like over the course of a year?
No,
over.
So we got hired to start Hannah Montana, you know, in 2004.
Right.
So we started the casting
process
in 2004, and then what happened is about I don't know if it was October, September, or whatever, and then by December they said, okay, we're going to rewrite the script.
Right.
And so then they stopped, but we kept kind of casting.
Sure.
So it was a 6-month process.
Wow.
So
wow.
we worked on this for 6 months. So I have stuff from 2004, then 2005. But Emily came in, I think, more towards later.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we read a lot of different Lilies.
Right.
So funny enough, you know, we read Anna Maria Perez
uh-huh.
for Lily.
Yep.
We read Shanika Knowles for Lily. So this is my point about why you always bring your A game to auditions. Because when you bring your A game, you never know when you're going to get another part,
yep.
even if you're
sure.
not right. They
right.
didn't end up getting Lily, but they
right.
both got recurring roles on the show.
Well, we often would.
Stuff,
yes.
Too.
Right. And we often. often would see, you know, when casting would give us choices, we would see two or three people and go, okay, we want this person, but we got to write something for this other person absolutely. Later on down the road because they're just so good.
Yeah.
Right. So they wouldn't get the role that they auditioned for, but we would give them something later on.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So that's my point. You always bring your A game because you never know if you don't get cast as that one thing, you could get another part. Or like you said, Doug, somebody writes something for you. That's happened to me more than once.
And as a director, I put people in my back pocket all the time, like for other projects. Thinking of things that I'm working on later.
So that's me and Emily being like later in the process,
right?
Like people that sort of like weren't in the initial batch.
I do have. Let me see. I'm just looking.
Yep.
Checking my notes. Okay. So Emily read for me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I said about Emily, good actress, had fun moments. And she was in Spy Kids 2. That was a no. But I put her down as a callback. So I had that little CB right there. So that's, you know.
Yeah.
That was her original read for me. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
She was always, from the beginning, we felt like she was our little professional, like, you know, between her dad being a constant presence, like helping her with like the acting coaching sort of part of it leading up to. She was our little.
Yeah.
Playing on instincts, Emily was like the professional actress.
Yeah, so. And then when she got the callback, you know, I mean, when she came in for producers, the notes were like, so good, you know, plays the best friend so well, you know, all that. So that was the thing.
And then, okay, so Robbie Ray as the dad, there's so many misconceptions about how the dad got cast and when he got cast.
Let's clear it all up. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Okay, so here's the true story.
Okay,
this is the true story from Lisa and Catherine's perspective, okay? So after Miley, some people had said, oh, well, Billy was already attached. That was false.
That is not
true. Billy was never attached to this project. Miley, when she got cast, Catherine and I went to Miley's mom, Tish, and said, hey, would Billy ever consider doing this? And Tish said, maybe, because we could move the whole family out here. Mm-hmm. So then we went to Disney and said, Billy Ray Cyrus. And that was a bit of a process.
It took some convincing.
Because he had been on a show that Doc that wasn't doing great. And, you know, that wasn't a comedy, obviously. Yeah. It certainly wasn't a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And so it took some convincing. And so we had to read a bunch of Robbies. And Catherine and I kept bringing up Billy Ray. And so it took some convincing. Mm-hmm. And then when it came down to the test, was one other guy who was very funny, who'd done a lot of comedy, and Billy. They finally agreed to let Billy come in the room and read with Miley. And the funny thing is, I don't even think we had a test deal with them at that time. Because I don't think we did. I don't think it was like in stone. So then they came, you know, the other actor, who I know who it is very well. He's a very talented guy, actually, the guy. I don't know. Can I say his name or not?
Mitchell Whitfield,
who's a very talented actor. It was him and Billy Ray. And Mitchell was funny. He was like, what? It's her dad? I don't think so.
It's funny because Billy's story is, the other guy's really good. You should cast the other guy.
You know? And Mitchell is really good. He's very funny. He's a very funny actor. He'd done a lot of sitcoms and stuff. But when Billy and Miley came in the room, obviously everybody saw the magic. Magic was right there. But that's the truth of the story. Right. Like, he was not attached. He had nothing to do with the project. It wasn't because he was Billy Ray Cyrus that Hannah, you know, Miley got the job. It wasn't because of any of that. Bro.
Yeah, everybody thinks he was the first one cast. He was actually the last one.
That is correct. Yeah.
Well, thank you for fighting for him because we talk a lot about.
I think the secret sauce, the magic thing for our show, there's so much craziness happening, so much suspension of your disbelief, but Billy Ray is the grounding force on the show. He's so just like
Because he's not acting.
Yeah,
he's
right.
He's just talking to his daughter the whole time. He's just being real. And and he has that ability to be kind and real and honest. And
he's funny. I mean, he's very funny. He's really funny.
And he's charismatic and charming. And when you put the two of them together, that was the magic of casting. You know?
Absolutely.
That's what Catherine and I always say, the magic of casting. So that was it. But, you know, there was a lot of stories that got put out there in all kinds of entertainment magazines that I was like, really? Because that's not the story that I remember.
Well, that's the beauty of this podcast is everyone has their own perspective.
Yes, right, that's true.
On how things happen.
So in addition to there being lots of stories about Billy Ray, there's a million stories about the casting of the Miley character or the Chloe character. What do you remember about the process of first discovering Miley being interested or reading, and where how she actually ended up getting the role?
Oh, it's such a story. So the thing is, originally Miley auditioned on tape. Mm-hmm. Okay, she was in Nashville. She auditioned, and her agent at the time, they sent a tape in. And you guys remember, this was in the days of VHSs.
Yeah.
There was no links. There was none of what we
have
now.
It came in the mail.
Exactly. I mean, it came by
FedEx.
Maybe by Messenger, but that was it, right? Yeah. And so she auditioned, and Catherine and I both saw something in her, and we had her redo it. And then we showed it to people, and then there was like, okay, interesting, maybe, we're not sure. And then, you know, got shut down for a little bit when they were rewriting.
Right.
She came out to Los Angeles, and Catherine and I worked with her when she came in for the audition with us first. Mm-hmm. And then we brought her in the room, more than once. I love, do you guys like, I mean, like, you know, the one thing I remember more than anything is like the first time she read for the producers and, you know, the Disney Channel people that were in the room, and there was a huge conference table like this.
It was
and she read, and I remember that I physically leaned my body across the entire table and looked at the producers in the eye and said, mark my words, that girl's going to be a star. And I did, but the
one you couldn't find.
Yes,
the one you're
one
never
that
gonna
you
find.
Guys said, yeah.
This is the best.
But it was a process.
Yeah, sure.
It was not like hands down, that's the girl. It was a process. You know, went from like, I think it was, I don't know if it was around 1,200. I'd have to count which all my notes, but anyways, my list. But it went from that to like, you know, 200 that the producers probably saw, maybe down to 150, 10, 5, 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
And three tested in the end. But she had a number of callbacks. It wasn't like a one time.
I heard that when she first auditioned, one of the main things going against her was she was just too young. And so, like, the fact that there was a rewrite and a delay and the show got pushed a few years or a year, that actually sort of helped her age into being appropriate.
Well, didn't you guys shoot it into the pilot in 2005?
We did.
June of 2005. We saw her originally in 2004, and by 5, she was 12.
So she was...
Right. She was
but 11
still,
to 12 is...
That, 11,
yeah. Those first tapes are
first
real.
Tape, she had to have been really, really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. But she was 12, you know what I mean?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah. So when we finally, you know, through that process.
And dispel one more just quick rumor.
Yeah, yeah.
The character's name wasn't Miley. The character's name was Chloe.
Yes.
And it wasn't Hannah Montana. It was Madison Montana. Right?
Never knew it as Madison Montana. I only knew it as Hannah.
Okay.
But the original character, I think it was Zoe in the first script.
Yeah. Okay.
Then it was Chloe.
Right.
And then they changed it to Miley Stewart after Miley.
After
cast.
She was cast. That's the big rumor. That,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and they didn't change it to Miley because Billy Ray kept calling her Chloe. That's another rumor that went around. Billy Ray couldn't remember to call her Chloe.
No,
like that was something that I remember seeing somewhere in the ether.
Yeah.
So you leaned across the table and you said, this girl's going to be a star.
Yeah.
What specifically about her, like, what did it for you? Was she just so charming? Was she? Was it her talent? Was it like that impish little glint in her eye when she looked at you?
Did she remind you of you being so ballsy that she?
Well, I don't know. Shannon, I kind of like that. I don't
know. What was the secret sauce?
You know, I think for me and for Catherine also, certain actors have that je ne sais quoi. That's what I call it. It's an intangible quality that you really can't put your finger on, but there's something so magnetic about them that you just want to watch them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And she had that.
Yeah.
Right. Know, and that is the hardest thing to find.
100%.
Yeah.
But you guys, you can think of it with tons of people, not just actors, but athletes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The Tom Brady's of the world, you know? Mm-hmm. You can think about it with singers and Lady Gaga, Adele. You know, there's certain people that just, they suck you in.
Yeah.
And you
just
want to watch them. And she had that. And her impish personality, her bubbly personality, she was just authentic. Mm-hmm. And she was very just being her, which is part of what you have to do as an actor, is be yourself and figure out how to bring your unique personality and self to a role, right? That's what we're looking for, right?
Sure.
When in any project, we're looking for you to bring yourself into it. And that's what she had. Mm-hmm. And we saw it from the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And she still got it.
Yeah, 100,000%. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you watch the Hannah 20th anniversary, like the moments where she's being interviewed, if she's giving sort of like the, you know, the media trained answer, it's like, it's fine. But when she sidetracks and makes little quips and self-deprecating jokes and stuff, and you get that little glimpse of what she really is like, that's that secret sauce you're talking about. That's that thing where you're just like, I would watch her say anything.
We always talk about the fact that certain actors have gravity.
Yeah.
That they're planets, that other moons revolve around, but you're sucked into their gravity.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to watch them. And she has so much gravity.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
100%. And we knew that. I mean, you knew it before us, but we knew it the first day we walked on set and saw. She didn't know how to act. No offense. She didn't know how to act.
What you're saying, Doug, is true. Yeah. Miley even talked about that on her special. You know what I mean? And she had never done a sitcom. She had a few little teeny credits. She wasn't like somebody who had an experience.
Right.
She'd done a few little credits, had sung on stage with her father at some of his shows. But that was it. So learning how to do a sitcom and act in a sitcom and hit those comedic beats, that's a skill, which you have.
Right. Well,
but she learned it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, to her credit, she
did.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And the girls we tested against her in the end, one of them had a lot of sitcom experience.
Right.
The other one didn't have as much sitcom experience, but she'd been in like The Grinch and, you know, stuff like that. So Miley was probably the one who had the least,
So was it a big fight?
It took a lot of persuasion all the way down there. You know what I mean? I don't think it was a quick decision at all.
Right.
But Gary Marsh definitely, you know, at the head of Disney Channel, in the end, he asked us, what do you think? And Catherine and I said, she's your star. And then he went to convince the other executives that he needed to do that with.
You were right. Yeah. You found that person. Yeah. Thank God.
Yep.
Was there a particularly hard role to cast? Was there one that was harder than the other of those series regulars on Hannah? Or was it all just normal, difficult pilot process?
I think that was tricky. I really think the Hannah role was the most tricky because we had to find the girl who played the girl next door and the superstar. So to me, that was a real, that was a tricky combination. You know what I mean? You had to buy her as both.
Right.
Her innocence and her goofiness as the girl next door and then the superstar over here. You know what I mean? So for me, that was really the trickiest of those.
Is there anybody, when you look back at those notes, that then went on to a different career and you go, oh my God, I read him for Oliver.
Oh, well, here's what I'm going to say. I don't know without going back to look on the Olivers, but on the part of Miley's character, a lot.
Really?
Oh yeah. There were people that read, can I name
you? Because these are like the ones that got away, but
we read, let me think. Ashley Benson, Brie Larson.
Really?
Went on to have a bitch. Oh, yeah. You know who else read? I mean, Brie had an amazing, has an amazing career. We went on, also Shailene Woodley read for it.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's all, I mean, I'd have to, I should have brought that.
That's the tea there. That's some good tea there.
Read for this. There was quite a few people that read for Hannah that went on to have huge careers. And, that's, you know, that's just the point. Right?
Yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
It's, that's not your role, but then you never know what the next one is.
I imagine if you're reading 1,000 girls over the course of a year, in that, like, you're going to run into some names. If you're, everybody is going to read for
that. But the interesting part is from my Bree's perspective, they look at, I didn't get Hannah, I'm a failure. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody sees their career in total. And you as an actor have to be able to go, I didn't get this, I didn't get this, I didn't get this. But the one that is right for you will come along.
Right. Brie and you'll never, get it. Brie never read. She was disgusted.
Oh, just disgusted.
She was disgusted. She didn't read for it. I think she ended up passing on it. And then, but you
mistake,
know.
Mistake, Brie.
It worked out.
I don't think mistake. It was a mistake.
I'm going to say, no mistake.
No. But, you know, originally, remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but originally there was a big discussion about JoJo. Remember the singer JoJo? There was a whole discussion about her if she was going to do that project. And then didn't happen.
You ended up doing a lot of stuff for Disney. How often does Disney throw names into the mix that they want you guys to sort of vet for them, and versus you always having it on your shoulders to find the talent? Like somebody like Corbin Blue, I don't know, like, the timing for when he did High School Musical, but he was in our pilot. He had a guest slot in the pilot. Was that happens to be a discovery by you guys, and he also did High School Musical? Or was it because he was already in the machine, they were like, maybe take a look at Corbin?
I think Corbin was already in the machine, if I remember right. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think so. Don't quote me, you guys.
No, it's, these are our imperfect memories.
Right, don't absolutely.
Quote me. I don't, with Corbin, I feel like he was already in the machines. Yeah. Like, sometimes, you know, Disney has their staff and they do talent searches and they'll ask us to read people and stuff for, and see if they can fit them into the projects and where they might fit, you know. I remember, too, another one who read for Hannah, Demi Lovato.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, more good tea.
That makes
and
sense.
She didn't go on to anything, right?
No,
nothing happened with her.
But another young gal that can sing her face off. She definitely like fit the criteria of like someone who actually has to be
absolutely able
to.
Super talented.
Super
talented
and very funny.
Yeah,
too.
Very funny.
Super funny.
Yeah.
Just in general, is there just across your vast casting career, is there one actor that you wish you had landed that didn't, that you were fighting for, or one that like passed on a project that you wished you had gotten?
Oh man, that's a really good question, Shannon. I don't know. I have to think on that one. I know
I have a friend who cast iCarly, and she was constantly hawking Emma to Dan. And he would say no. And then eventually it was like, and eventually he goes, why can't you get me someone like Emma Stone? And she went, should I show you all the times you passed on it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there anyone like that in your?
I'd have to look at that and think about who that could be. The funny, just as a side note, Emma Stone was somebody we brought up so many times to Disney Channel to be a guest star on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody.
Really?
And she never got a job. And then they finally, we got her a job as the voiceover of London Tipton's dog.
Oh,
that is
God.
The craziest.
Yeah. And so Emma Stone was on our radar, you know, and so when House Bunny came up, then we were like, you guys, here's the
okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have to think if there's somebody in all the years that I've cast that I'm sure there is, but I'd have to think about it.
Is there anybody that you had a hand in casting that you are like sort of exceptionally proud for giving them a shot and then their career went on?
Well,
to
let me, do you want to know my Jennifer Aniston story? Jennifer had already, she'd done a series, right? She was on a show. And then we were doing Leprechaun, Remember that crazy movie, Leprechaun?
Sure. Yes. Everybody does.
And, so she got cast in that movie, Leprechaun, right? And she's another one, you know, that je ne sais quoi, that personality. It's just so fun and bubbly, and she was adorable, and she's such a good actress. And so we cast her in that, and then we did a sitcom, a sketch comedy show for Fox called The Edge. And it was a sitcom, and it had Julie Brown.
Oh, my goodness.
We put Jennifer Aniston in it, Wayne Knight, Tom Kenny, SpongeBob,
yeah.
and Jill Talley, all these funny people. So they did this, I don't know, 13 episodes of this show. This was before like Mad TV and all that, and so it was a little risque, I think, at the time for Fox. I don't know. They didn't keep going. And then she got cast in Friends. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, I had no idea she did a sketch show.
Yeah, she did a sketch show called The Edge that we cast her in.
Wow.
That's a good find.
That is a good
find.
That was, you know, so that was a really fun one, you know?
Pivoting a little bit.
Yeah.
I talked to you about your book a bajillion times.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about it. Like, why did you write it? What are you hoping people take away from it? Let's give it a little plug if we're still giving some plugs.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Because it's a great book.
Well, the book's From Start to Stardom, The Casting Director's Guide for Actors. So I originally wrote it, the first version of it, in 2013-14. And I wrote it because so many people asked me, how do I get started in the business? How do I get an agent? How do I get a manager? How do I get discovered? What do I need to do in the casting sessions? How do I do all this? So sure. I wrote this version. And then I put it out in 2015, right, on Amazon. And then during the pandemic, I rewrote it and put it out in 21 because everything had changed, right?
Sure.
It had become all about self-tapes. There was not that much in the room anymore. So I rewrote it. And that's why I did it, because I wanted people to have a guide for the 411 business of acting.
Yeah. That's
and that's
incredible.
Why I did it.
Okay, so what is your number one piece of advice that you would give a young aspiring actor at the beginning of their career? What is that key thing that you want them to know?
I'm going to use a piece of advice that my father gave me.
Ooh.
And he said to me, you can't take it too seriously. And I think that piece of advice, because even as an independent casting director, there's been many times where we didn't get jobs I wanted.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then I'm like, you go in your head and you think, do I suck? Do I stink? Oh, maybe I'm no good at this anymore. All those things. And my father was like, you can't take it too seriously. It's, you know, and so for young artists, I feel like you have to love it and you go for it and you have fun and you enjoy the journey, but you can't take it too seriously. You can't get in every time you get rejected. Sure, you can have your moment and you're bummed out and you have that, but let it go. Next. Because you never know, just like these many actresses that read for the role that Miley got, all went on to have very successful careers.
Yeah.
So you never know when that opportunity is going to hit.
Right.
So that's my advice that I always
that's
tell
good. That's a good piece.
I have always noticed that, like, if I'm really, like, in that place of, like, desperation and taking it too seriously, my auditions are terrible. You never get callbacks. You never book those jobs. When you roll in and you don't care and you're just like, I'm just going to go in and have fun, those are the jobs you book.
That's what you do. You go in or you tape and you have fun with it. And don't make it, oh, my God, I'm so desperate. I have to get this job. I have to. I really want it. I really want it. Because there's so many factors, as you know, that go into casting. You just don't know.
Yeah.
So you always do your best work. And you go, next.
Right.
So as we get here toward the end, fill us in on how are you staying busy now? Are you looking for the next series to cast? Are you still doing coachings, acting classes?
Yes.
Hawking the book? creating content? What's
Catherine and I are still casting. We're actually casting two movies right now. So it's very exciting. Fully funded.
The business is back, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
Excited. excited. One of them is really funny, but I don't know if I'm allowed to say what it is yet.
Don't break any NDAs.
That's okay. No,
because they haven't put it out, but they will soon, and it's really funny comedy. And then I'm also teaching my classes. I have online classes for kids and teens and adults. And then I have one in-person class in LA that's like it's a 3-month class. Jason came and spoke at it once, which was really fun to the actors. So I have that. And I also, yes, have my book, Start to Stardom. And I do coach, periodically, which I love doing. I love doing anything I can do to help actors. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason I love teaching is because it's a way for me to help actors and give back,
And you've given a lot back.
Because you
found so many people that we enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be enjoying them. We'd be entertained if it wasn't for you.
So. For the workshops so much, and Doug. The classes, how do people find you? Like, how do people look those up? Do you have a website?
From starttostardom.com. Yes, they can reach out to me there.
And
sure.
Any socials that you want to?
My Instagram is @LisaLondonCasting. Yes, and I have a lot of great actor tips on there. So,
yeah, I've seen them. They're incredible. Yeah. All things that I would say too. And, just as we start to wrap this up, one compliment that I want to give you, Lisa, and, also Catherine, of course, is that one thing that I've heard consistently from people who have auditioned for you is how kind you both are. Like, they don't walk in that room, like they might be nervous or whatever, but that they can walk in that room and you are so welcoming and warm that they feel like they're giving their best for you because of the vibe that you guys create for them. And that is the best thing that an actor can walk into ever. And that's my hope as a director when an actor auditions for me, is that they're just creating the circumstances for them to be able to shine for you.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that comes from both of you and your kindness to actors and wanting them to succeed and wanting to find the right person for the job.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that because that is something we strive to do.
Lesson of the day.
Yes.
Don't be a dick.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's good. That's true. Don't be jerky. Do you guys want to work with people who are jerks? And we're like the first gatekeepers to kind of figuring out who you are.
No.
So, yes.
Absolutely.
And we've all had to.
That's true.
It is why for 15 years, anytime Lisa calls and is like, you want to talk to my class? Do you want to zoom into the workshop? Do you want to do a little interview for the book? Like anytime, I'm always a yes, because like Shannon said, the kindest room that I probably would ever walk into was your guys' casting.
So why did she say yes to us then?
I didn't know you that well.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Zing.
No, kindness matters. Yes, for sure.
Okay, I think we are gonna wrap this up. We really, really appreciate you hanging out with us today. Uh-oh. It really was quite magical.
Yes, thank you guys all for having me. I hope that was informative and fun. And
it was great.
It was
perfect.
Exactly what we were hoping for.
Okay, perfect.
And thank all of you at home for hanging out with us. If you want to watch the pod, make sure to subscribe to Best of Both Our Worlds YouTube channel. Helps us a ton. If you play with that algorithm, leave comments, ring the bell, share with your friends. All that stuff really, really helps us grow the channel. Follow the show on Instagram at Best of Both Our Worlds Podcast, on TikTok at Best of Both Our Worlds, and on X if you hate yourself. at the podcast. Please check out our website as well, bestofbotharworlds.com. Like I said, we mentioned before, we have a little banner at the top of the page. If you click on it, you can find out how you can be a part of our True Friend Fridays, which are really, really fun sort of fan engagement activity. This has been Best of Both Our Worlds, created and hosted by Jason Earls, Douglas Danger Liebline, and Shannon Flynn. Executive producer Renee Colvert, produced by Jeff Murphy, filmed, edited, and finished at Quest Pacifica, with special thanks to Katie Boyum and Lee Anthony Smith. Our graphic design director is Gina Murphy. Our original music is by Joe Serafini, and our social media strategy is by Shelby Stahl and Beloved Social. And as we wrap this up, if you would be so kind as to take us out with our little saying.
And with that, good day, Daddy.
I said, good dad, daddy.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That good?
That's good.
You did it.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.